The following worship service was recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming, with Reverend Jimmy Krishan on Sunday, October 28, 2018.
Grace and peace in the name of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, and good morning, church. It's good to see you. It is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Let us continue now as we worship the risen Lord. For today is the day the Lord has made. Let our hearts rejoice. Let us be glad, and truly may the thoughts of our minds and the meditations of our hearts glorify Him. Let us pray. Father, today we thank you for love, grace, and mercy. As we come before you today to worship you in spirit and in truth, let us come humbly into your presence and bask in your mercy. Lead us and guide us, and let us worship you in Christ's name, we pray. Amen.
Our scripture reading this morning is Mark 11:46 through 52. They came to Jericho. As he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way. The word of God for the people of God.
I want you to kind of reflect backwards just a little bit to last week's scripture message, where we had the disciples coming to Jesus and asking Jesus to do something for them. And they just want those seats and they want all of that stuff. And I want you to remember that in that passage, Jesus calls himself the Son of Man. The Son of Man. Remember that Mark 10 is a transitionary chapter in the life of Jesus, as Mark is portraying that to his reader. And it's this time that Jesus has begun his march toward Jerusalem. He is going to the cross. His face is set. His intent is sure. He's told his disciples how he must go there to die. And so he's set, and he's going. And he's going to have to get there by traveling through some places. And as he travels, he's teaching. And as he's traveling, large crowds of people are gathering up. Now, when you hear the word disciples here, remember there are the 12 disciples that will later become the apostles. But there are also about 70 others, disciples, who are traveling with Jesus. And those of us who are believers in Christ today, we are still called disciples. Remember the Great Commission. Jesus said to go and make disciples. So we become disciples. And then as we witness, as we share grace, as we share God's word, as we teach and we witness, we bring others in and they accept Christ and they become disciples as well. So now Jesus is continuing his journey. And we go through the city of Jericho. How many of you remember Jericho in the Bible? A few? Okay. Well, I might jingle your memory a little bit, but Jericho is one of the first cities that the nation of Israel face when they come in to the Promised Land under the leadership of Joshua. Joshua. Guess who's what Jesus' name also means? Joshua. Oh, anyway, just a little tidbit of Bible stuff for you. So we're going through this very city. It is the city around which Israel marched. And the old song goes, Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho and the walls came tumbling down. One of those great cities that the spies said they could not overcome. The walls came tumbling down. It's that very city that Jesus has now gone through, according to Mark, and is coming out on the other side, continuing his journey to Jerusalem. Well, it's the tradition that all the beggars and the lame and all the cripples, they would take them out and they'd put them at the gate of the city where they could beg for their sustenance. Sometimes they would leave them there and not come back. So it was important that these beggars carried with them all of their earthly belongings. Homeless people often do that today, don't they? They keep it all with them. In big cities, how many of you have been to a large city and saw homeless people who are actually carrying everything they've got in a shopping cart, rolling it around? They keep it with them because there's no certainty of anything. This was true of these people. Now, I want to remind you of the Jewish tradition that if you had a physical infirmity, that means there was sin in your life. That means that God had judged you. And any good Jew would not want to interrupt God's judgment by messing with you because you were unclean. Remember this parable of the Samaritan, where the Jewish person got on the other side of the road and didn't even come close? You know, that's what you did. So now picture this again. Jesus is going through. He's got this large crowd. They think Jesus is going to Jerusalem to kick the Romans out and set up David's kingdom. That's what they're looking for. Remember Jesus calling himself the Son of Man. So far in Mark's gospel, Jesus has not come out as the Messiah. So far he has told people, don't tell, don't share, keep it quiet, keep it between us. As Jesus is leaving, this blind man, Bartimaeus means son of Timaeus. It's not really his name. It's just what they call him, Bartimaeus. His name is probably something to do with Timaeus too. But Bartimaeus hears that it's Jesus. How many of you have known someone that was blind? Anybody know? How have you noticed about blind people? They hear real well most of the time. You know, their other senses improve because they have the one that's gone. I mean, they can hear everything. And I bet, sitting at the gate of that city, he was hearing all kinds of stuff. You know how people like to gossip as they travel? You know? There's no doubt that he heard about this guy that came in on the other side of town and is causing this stir in a large crowd, and he notices something. He hears about him, and he calls out to him, but you need to notice that he is very astute, this Bartimaeus. He calls out, and he says, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus of Nazareth. You see, Jesus was a popular name back then, but Nazareth wasn't a popular town. But it was the town that the Bible said the Messiah would come from, and that the Messiah would be to extend the kingdom of David, which would never end, God's promise. So now, blind Bartimaeus, a lot more astute at this time than these disciples had been, I might add, says, Jesus of Nazareth, have mercy on me. And notice that those with Jesus sternly, they actually probably physically told him to shut up, slammed him down, because he didn't need to come before this holy man, this sinner. But that don't stop him, does it? No, he gets louder. Can you imagine if your hope, your only hope and your only chance for healing was leaving town? You wouldn't give up so easy, would you? So he calls even louder, Jesus. No, he says, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stops. And he says, bring him here. And now, now these guys are all friendly, right? Hey, be of good cheer. The teacher, you know, all of a sudden, you know, the wind shifted. You know, a while ago, it could be mean to old Bartimaeus. They could punch him down and knock him out and put him in his corner. But now the wind shifted. Jesus is calling for him. These guys are all nice. Be of good cheer. Come on. Come up here. He wants, you are so lucky. He has stopped the crowd. He stopped the press. Come. Don't you notice something that Bartimaeus does? Now remember, Bartimaeus is blind. Bartimaeus is headed toward Jesus. He throws it all off. Bartimaeus leaves everything behind. Now, if you're blind and you're in a crowd and you chuck all your stuff and you leave it behind, what's the chances you'll be able to find it again? I mean, and not only that, those other beggars is going to pick it before you get back. So blind Bartimaeus left everything behind with no hope of getting it back. The disciples said, we left everything, remember, in the previous verse. If you don't, you can go back and look at them. We left everything. What are we going to get? You mean we left everything and we're not going to get anything? Bartimaeus left it. He knew that he couldn't find it again. But it's worth it. And he goes up to Jesus. And let's have a look. And Jesus says, so throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And then Jesus said to him, what do you want me to do for you? Now, if you still got your Bible open, and you should have, you can go back. If not, you can remember to go back to verse 36 of the same chapter. I'll give you just a minute to go back there. His disciples have come. And the disciples said, Teacher, notice they said, Teacher, this is verse 35, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. What is it you want me to do for you, Jesus? Same question, isn't it? Same question, isn't it? So throwing off his coat, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, what do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said to him, my teacher. My teacher. Personal. My Savior. My Messiah. My Lord. It's personal. The disciples tagged him with a title. Bartimaeus is given a humble reference to someone who is over him. The disciples, not so much, was it? What do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, this is important, my teacher, that I might see again. If yours don't read, that I might see again, fix it. That is the Greek. That is the correct reading. That I might see again. This is pivotal. This is important. You see, in the Jewish culture, if Bartimaeus had been born blind, it would have been the sins of his parents that caused that blindness. But since Bartimaeus had not been born blind, by his answer, by his request, he had been able to see, or he wouldn't have said to see again. The sin in Jewish culture was his. His. In Jewish culture, Bartimaeus had sinned, and his blindness was God's punishment for that sin. So when Bartimaeus says that I might see again, Bartimaeus is actually asking for his sins to be forgiven. He's asking for redemption. And the second time, he says, have mercy on me. And what does Jesus say? Your faith has made you whole. Go. It's free. Jesus forgives him his sins, his faith, his belief. It's absent from the last interaction with the disciples. But here he says to Bartimaeus, you're free, go. And Bartimaeus chooses to follow Jesus, not leave and take his blessing, not leave and take his healing, not go and say, look, I can see. No, go out and do this. Go back and get it. No, he follows Jesus, but he follows him in the way, and the way that would lead to the cross, not in the few days that would follow Jesus would die, but in the time Bartimaeus became a disciple of Jesus Christ, and Bartimaeus would indeed lose his life for the gospel of Jesus Christ. He followed Jesus in the teachings. He followed Jesus in the examples. He followed Jesus in the self-sacrifice of ministry and discipleship that followed. He chose. He could have thrown it away. He could have taken it and did what he wanted to with it. But no, Bartimaeus took his mercy and turned and followed Jesus. Bartimaeus may have been blind of sight, but not blind of heart and spirit. You see, he knew who Jesus was. How did he know? The Holy Spirit. And he calls out, not for goods, not for riches, not for seats on the right and left, but for mercy. And church today, that's what we should call out for. How many of us want what we deserve in life? At least from God. Come on, somebody's bound to want what they deserve. I hope we've learned better than that. I'm going to cry out for mercy in the name of Jesus. Mercy wins. But he also knew one other thing about the Messiah. You see, the Messiah was to do some things. He was to set people free and cause the blind to see and to live mercy. Not just give it, but to live it. And Jesus lived it. Even on the cross, he says, Father, forgive them. He lived it, not just said it. And Bartimaeus knew that the Messiah could do all of this. And he received his sight, his forgiveness for his sins. There is not one of us today, or tomorrow, or next week, that won't commit a sin. And every day, we should be a Bartimaeus and call out for God's mercy and forgiveness, so that sin can be moved away from us, forgiven. for that unforgiven sin in our bodies and in our hearts and in our lives gives a place for the devil to come in and to dig in and to tear us inside out, to destroy our integrity, destroy our relationships, to destroy our friendships, and to even physically make us sick. We should learn the lesson of Bartimaeus. No matter what the world might say, we should call out for mercy. Irregardless of how we are pressed or repressed, we should call out for mercy. And church, we should take it one other step. As disciples, we should invite them to Jesus. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious and loving God, may we live out mercy. May we live out the tenets taught to us in word and deed by our Savior Jesus and His disciples and followers. May we join with Bartimaeus and others, and even now to follow Him in the way, to continue to follow Him in the way. Father, we call out for mercy in the name of Jesus. And Father, help us to be instruments of mercy in the name of Jesus. Help us to reach into places that are lost, broken, in doubt. Help us to reach into lives, to get our hands a little dirty, to stop in the busyness and the press of the crowd, to hear the voice of one calling out for help, and let us live mercy. Let us, in your name, share grace and hope that they may receive redemption and peace. May we be your church to live out mercy and grace. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. May we go to know mercy. May we go to live mercy, to show mercy, and proclaim mercy. May we go to share the love and grace of Jesus Christ by what we do and what we say. And may Christ go with us, bless us, and keep us. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to a worship service recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church. Our pastor is Reverend Jimmy Krishan. Our church is located at 1515 Edgar Street in Rock Springs, Wyoming. You may call us at 307-362-5334. Please note our email address, which has changed recently, rsfumc@sweetwaterhsa.com. Visit our website at rockspringsumc.org for more information about our congregation, our ministries, or upcoming events. Audio copies of this sermon are also available on the website. We invite you to join us for worship on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m.